Hello and welcome to Saxon's market call on Monday, September 14th, 2020. And we are in for a very strong start to the week with the NASDAQ 100 index up 1.7% this morning. It's off very strong starts in Asia as well. And it's all coming down partly to a comment from the Pfizer CEO that a vaccine, he feels confident that a vaccine can be provided to Americans by the end of the year. So, we had a pretty bad week last week, to say the least, in U.S. equities and general global equities. We were all banging on a rebound. It didn't come. I also had a piece out showing the technical setup for previous patterns on a similar sell-off from all-time highs. And that's a two-week forward prediction I made there. So I have 1 week to get that rebound done. So let's see. It's a very good start to the week, at least. But we'll talk about some other equity stories shortly. But I have Altea with me here on this podcast, and you want to talk about the U.S. yield curve. It had a, I mean, everyone talks about, you know, we have the rebound and there's a lot of stimulus, and everyone wants to see the yield curve steepening because you have better economic activity. But that was not what happened last week.
No, what we have seen last week, and we have a slides here, and we have seen the U.S. yield curve flattening, especially on long-term maturities. What the yield curve is telling us is that investors are underestimating inflation link risk, and we are seeing that also on the break-even rate, which is lower overall in the past week. I think that at this point in time, we have to look at two different sets of data, the short-term data and the long-term data. In the short term, we might see more easing from the Fed. And as a matter of fact, this Wednesday, we are having the Fed meeting and everybody is looking for the framework to be outlined by Powell regarding this average inflation average inflation.
So basically explaining a little bit more on what was presented at that big symposium a couple of weeks ago, because that was when they introduced the average inflation target.
Exactly. But the big question here is what Powell is going to do. Are they going to purchase more bonds? Are they going to change the way that they purchase bonds? Are they going to change maturities? Are they going to purchase longer maturities, pushing down further the yield curve? So the real risk here that we see, Peter, is that the yield curve will continue to flatten out and investors will continue to buy these securities. Mm. And at this point of time, government bonds is the worst thing you can hold on to, because
if we get inflation.
If we get inflation, right? Because you are going to basically be at 65 basis points on a 10 years yield. And as we have seen, CPI numbers already last week was above 1%. So if we have already 1% in CPI numbers in 1 year, basically you're already losing money.
Yeah, we actually had a positive surprise on those CPI numbers on Friday. So that's I don't think, as you pointed out with the break-evens, because the break-evens have been the absolute part of the bond market have been the most bit, I think, over the past couple of months, the inflation trade. But the inflation, although it surprised on Friday, is still very subdued. So I think it's going to be extremely, I think it will be one of the most important themes over the next year. Will
Absolutely.
We get inflation or will inflation not come? I mean, that's and I think it will determine a lot of the returns across all asset classes.
Yeah, absolutely. But at this point, a person should also ask himself if he's a short-term investor or a long-term investor.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a crucial thing. I'll just quickly run through some equity stories because we had a lot coming in over the weekend, but also Monday morning. So the big story here this morning is NVIDIA buying the ARM computer chip division from SoftBank Group. It's a $40 billion acquisition, part cash, part stock. It's a key move for NVIDIA to secure its future. ARM Holdings, which was the name of the old company, but ARM has some of the most crucial patents in the world for computer chips. This is absolutely key, but it also takes NVIDIA right into the center of the conflict between the US and China, because this I don't think the Chinese will be glad to have the ARM patents moving to a US company. It has been on Japanese hands, and the Japanese have been quite neutral in the stance versus China versus US on the whole computer chip. So watch NVIDIA in trading today. I think it's going to be super exciting. Oracle apparently is claiming to be the front runner now, suddenly on the TikTok deal, Microsoft being sidelined here. Oracle is preferring and offering a partnership deal to TikTok's parent company, ByteDance. It's a Chinese-based company, instead of an outright purchase, which is the wish of the U.S. government. Even the Chinese government have indicated this morning that they're not really super keen on the entire acquisition of the TikTok's U.S. business. White House has a 20th September deadline for solving this matter on TikTok. I have a hard time seeing that Oracle should be buying a social media video platform and not as a partnership. I don't think that's in the interest of the U.S. government. So watch Oracle stocks today, but also Microsoft, because they were also the front runner, at least until we went into the weekend. My final equity story here before you take over, Altair, on a very interesting developments or potential developments in the emerging market spaces on Nikola, because we mentioned it on Friday. It's this very emergent electrical vehicle maker that I have claimed to produce the first real truck that is based on electrical engine. And as you're probably well aware of, we had on Thursday, we had that Hindenburg researcher, a short seller, claiming deception and fraud, and Nikola shares were down on Thursday. And then on Friday, before the open, the co-founder and CEO, Trevor Milton, promised in a tweet, which you can see on slide five, that he had been working all night to make a rebuttal of all the claims, and it would be out. And then what happened was that the company's PR department just issued a very generic press statement, and the shares were down another almost 15%, 14.5%. After that horrible session on Friday, Trevor Milton was out on several tweets. One of them you can see here on slide five, claiming pictures from one of its factories in Germany, showing pictures from actual production of these trucks. He also made claims that they couldn't do a more detailed rebuttal of the claims due to, you know, their lawyer firm has taken over and they need to clear it with the SEC what they shoot back with. So I think it's going to be a very, very, very crucial session today for Nikola and whether they can take control of the whole narrative. But that was a couple of equity stories. I think we have to swing back to some of the more broader macro stories out there. Altair, you're zooming in on the dollar try today. There is a downgrade on Turkey, and take us through what's happening.
Yes, Moody's has revised the credit rating for Turkey, and it has downgraded it to B2 from a B1, pushing basically placing Turkey at the same level as Egypt, Jamaica, and Rwanda. So it's
that's serious.
Yes, that's very serious. But the claims that Moody's making are even more serious, because Moody's saying, there is a deterioration of the fiscal buffer, and that this has been mainly due to the currency that has been one of the worst performers this year, and also foreign reserves. Our foreign exchange reserves are basically almost zero netted out. This means that if you pile up all the debt that Turkey has issued and liabilities, we can think that there is almost no buffer. So Turkey is walking on a very thin ice at the moment. We are expecting to see a lot of volatility in the currency and in the government bonds. But what's more worrisome is that this is going to leak to other countries. And this morning we have seen Philippines trying to tap the market to issue some bills. Mm-hmm. And because investors, they were demanding a higher yield on these bills, Philippines, for the first time since March, pull the deal out of the market. And so the big question here is that if Philippines, like Turkey, is going under, Philippines is pulling out these bills, deal, what is happening with countries like India or Brazil, where we see an increase of numbers of coronavirus cases, and at the moment it seems that the foreign investors are still supporting this market.
That's a good point, and we have to obviously state here that it's very difficult to play Turkey outright in the currency. The liquidity is very poor, I guess so as well for the bond. So I just want to highlight, if you want to play the emerging market story, you probably also have to be selective, because if you're thinking that you want to be short or go out of the emerging market equity market, it's predominantly Chinese equities and South Korean equities and Hong Kong and India. So you probably have to be selective on Philippines. But there's a lot of opportunities you can do that in ETFs. So look for that if you're interested. Before we go to the calendar, slide 7. We have there's so much noise around the different indicators. I really prefer this U.S. Federal Reserve from New York's Economic Activity Index. I think it's a very good real-time measure on U.S. GDP growth on a weekly basis. We had those, I would say, rather disappointing claims data from the U.S. On jobless claims last week. But nevertheless, the rebound is still intact according to this indicator, and GDP is now only, and I say only, it's still a big number, but they're down 4% compared to last year. But the trajectory is definitely in for the U.S. economy to be back in positive growth mode by around year end. So positive developments. And before we go to the calendar, I know you wanted to mention, well, now that we talked about U.S. economic growth, you wanted to tell us something about high yield bonds.
Not actually investment grade bonds.
Investment grade, sorry.
So what we have seen last week is that corporate America has been issuing around $70 billion worth of investment grade corporate bonds. Just to give you an idea, in July only, we issued $64 billion in investment grade in bonds. So we are seeing like a huge pickup 1 week versus a full month of bond issuance. What is happening here is that the investment grade bond space is taking advantage of low yields, obviously, now that they can refinance themselves. But on the other side, we see basically investors very well receptive of these bond issuances. And we have seen spreads tightening consistently throughout the full week and throughout all the week. And
are they also pushing out the maturities? So are companies, yes, also issuing at longer maturities?
The average maturity is around 7 years, but there has been obviously, like, we had the example of Nissan that has issued four tranches maturities, and they range from 3 years up to 20 years. So it really depends, like, would we look at. But just to give you an example, Peter, last week we have seen a bond issuance of Bank of China Aviation, which is an airplane lessor, and they issued 10-year bonds in US dollars at a yield around 2%. 200 basis points over the treasury, so 2.6%, let's say, right? The thing is that, you know, like, it might look compared to other corporate bonds quite a good yield, because the US treasuries are quoting around 66 basis points at the moment. But we're talking about an airplane company based in China. So the risk that investors are taking is huge. And what they ask is around 200 basis points over the treasuries.
Very interesting thoughts there. Maybe if you have too many investment grade bonds, you should have another look, also because you have the inflation outlook that is potentially is not a good thing for investment grade bonds. Moving to the calendar, very thin today, 0900 GMT. We only have Eurozone July industrial production. That's already very old numbers. I don't think it's very relevant. So as you mentioned, Althea, it's really on Wednesday when we have that FOMC meeting where we'll get hopefully, you know, the outline and more color on the framework for average inflation targeting by the Fed. And then also we have US August retail sales, very important number on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we have Bank of England meeting as well. But then, yeah, so, but as you can see here on slide 8 with the entire calendar, we're in for a very exciting week. So so stay on your toes out there and stay safe, and we'll guide you through the markets as they come due over the coming days. And thank you for listening today. Thank you.